you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 24th, 2020, and it's another new day, Jason.
Another new day.
Yes. And your foot, people may have seen the post yesterday that you're in your boot again.
Yeah, you know, somebody said, isn't getting old tough? And I said, yeah, you know, there was that one day where we were invincible, and then we woke up and we could hurt ourselves sleeping.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, yeah, just trying to be healthy and work out and getting hurt along the way, I guess.
Yeah, well, we'll keep praying that up. And like you said, it's a little better or seemingly healing up maybe on its own. So, as they say, drink lots of water, rest up where you can, and take it easy. And hopefully, however, God, that amazing mechanism of how our body, you know, white blood cells will fight these things off and viral things that attack us have to battle through this, and just fearfully and wonderfully made, how he's made us where certain things just over time with some rest will heal themselves. And it's just kind of amazing. I mean, it's a miracle how we can function and eyesight, and I forget how many hundreds of millions of times our heart beats. Oh, gosh, what they say, the trillions of number of cells that transition or refashion or change or redevelop. It's just like amazing our bodies. So thank you, God, for his awesome creation and the fact that a day of rest can make all the difference. So, oh, hey, exciting announcement. The Singing Men, we're going to have our first concert coming up in February on the 21st. And we're going to help out ministry in and around the Georgetown Ridge Farm. There's a ministerial association. And Stephen Hughes, I haven't talked to him. We've texted and emailed back and forth, and he's working through some things with C.J. Sizemore. But they have a Rescue Us ministry that they're going to be raising some funds for. And I think it might be somewhat similar to like See You at Home, where they help people in need and have various ministry work that goes on, and a number of churches assist. But there's a big ministry building at the First Church of Christ in Georgetown. And so Steve Hughes is working with CJ and our Singing Men to be part of the evening fundraiser. I think it's going to include a meal and some sharing and testimony. So that's going to be the first concert that the Singing Men will be participating in. It's on February 21st. More to say about that in the coming days. And I hope to have Stephen in the studio maybe for a memorization Monday or a testimony Tuesday to talk about Rescue Us Ministry. But those of you familiar with that, put February 21st on your calendar, and we look forward to singing to you and sharing in helping raise funds for Rescue Us Ministry. So excited about that, all the different ways that God can use our radio ministry, the Singing Men or the Children's Choir. The theater troupe is going to be launching auditions soon, and we'll have more to say about that probably this next week. Kate Freeman's all excited about The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe, and how it's all going to come together for a fall winter production in 2020 later this year. So that's exciting. One last little update, Jason. I shared this with you earlier, but the FCC is getting closer. Apparently, there's another piece of documentation that they need that's beyond us. It's the family of stations has to submit that and clarify one little thing that seems to be a snag for now, that maybe when that's submitted or the amendment is made, then we'll get a green light. But every little step, I feel like we must be getting closer, because we resolved that. We gave them those two things. This issue has been clarified. And we're like, maybe any day now. And then a few days ago, we learned, oh, they need this and they need that. And so they're working on it, so hopefully in the coming days, as all of us continue to pray, that God will have his way, as he will, and the timing will be just right, and we're set to go when we're able to go. So more to say soon, I hope.
Well, that's a good segue, Mark, because the piece of scripture I was thinking about and I was looking at earlier today is Hebrews 11. And most people know that Hebrews 11 is that great, big, huge chapter on faith. But it begins by saying, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And so faith is this assurance of where we place our hope. So where is our hope? The beginning of Hebrews chapter 11 asks us and says, where is your hope? Where is your assurance at? Because that'll tell you where your faith is. You know, just as our eyes see the substance of the world, faith sees the substance of our faith, of how we see our Savior, of where our hope is. Faith is the substance of our hope. And so, you know, I use my eyes and I look around and I see the evidence of the world. And just as in what you're saying, you know, you're saying use your eyes and you see an email that says, oh, my gosh, you need another piece of paperwork. You need to do this or you need to check off this box and get this done in order for the FCC to green light and okay these things that are happening. But ultimately, that's the way the world works through the process. But we don't work through the process that way. We work through it by faith. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. See, faith looks to the evidence of God's Spirit at work. And so when you're kind of encountering, you know, all these pieces of paperwork that need to be sent in, and oh my gosh, another thing that needs to be filed, and this little thing that we thought we had covered, but now we have to, you know, go find that and send it in and, you know, check this box and check that box. We can so easily allow ourselves to get rattled by all that and wonder, like, okay, Lord, my gosh, is this what we're supposed to be doing? Is this really the direction we're supposed to be going? You know, gosh, it seems like it's difficult and it's hard. By the way, I would think that, or I would say that anything that is good is usually difficult and hard. It usually has a season within it, no matter how big or small it is, where God is working some things out of you that need to be worked out of you in the next season. And so faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. It reminds me of Romans 5:5, which says, and hope does not disappoint. And I love that verse because right out of the gate in Romans 5:5, it tells us that if we have the right hope, we will not be disappointed. Even though we might feel a creeping kind of disappointment in the days that we're hoping. You know, sort of like you. You're thinking, okay, we're all covered. We got everything covered. Everything is done with the FCC. Kind of disappointing. We just got an email that we need to file one more thing. Okay, we'll file that one more thing. And then we're going to be good. There's another thing we need to file. And yet, our hope, the hope that we're to have as Christians, does not disappoint. Why? Because God has poured out his love by the Holy Spirit. And so, see, the beginning of Hebrews 11 tells us that the assurance of our faith, the assurance of our hope, is in something that is unseen. And then we get this great chapter that goes through all of redemptive history, you know, up to Christ coming and into Christ coming, and all the kind of superheroes and heroes of the faith, you know, Abraham and Moses and all these different people who put their faith in following God where God would have them go, and yet there were struggles along the way. There were moments along the way that could have felt incredibly disappointing. And this is where I say that we need to talk about this in this kind of framework, because generally the way we sometimes encounter the Bible, there's too big a gap between the life of the Bible and the life that we live. And yet if we bring this closer together and we say, listen, in this journey of faith, in this journey of hoping, we're going to have difficult days of disappointment. That's why we need reading Hebrews 11. We need Romans 5:5, because we need a hope that doesn't disappoint, because the hope that we put in everything daily other than Christ will disappoint us. And those of us who have been following Jesus but living life have felt disappointment. We felt, wow, this day didn't go the way it was supposed to go. That relationship didn't do what it was supposed to do. That thing was supposed to turn out another way, and it didn't turn out that way. And this thing was supposed to be easy, but they need another piece of paperwork. And what Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us is that these people all moved by faith in big ways and in small ways. And they did things that seemed bigger than themselves. They did things that seemed almost at times crazy. You know, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. I mean, that's kind of crazy when you think about it, that Moses made this huge choice, and yet, for every single person, Hebrews chapter 11, they don't receive the fullness of what was promised.
Right.
They don't get to see it. They don't get to fully experience it. Why? Because there was more to God. See, what we want to do is we want to take God's promises and make them small.
Hmm.
So that we can wrap our minds around them. I don't think that anybody in this great chapter on faith could have wrapped their head around Jesus Christ, could have wrapped their head around God who is going to come incarnate in the flesh to live and to walk amongst us, to suffer and to die a brutal and agonizing death, only to rise 3 days later and ascend to the Father and send his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. I don't think these people who had the Spirit come upon them at different points could have ever comprehended the Spirit dwelling within them.
Mm-hmm.
And so for all of them, as we read the Old Testament, they're kind of relying on these smaller promises because their minds won't let them understand the big promise. See, we can't wrap our head around what God is doing. We can't. That's why we need to hope in a specific thing. See, we don't have simply faith as kind of this gray area. We have an object of faith.
Hmm.
And the object of faith is Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times when I hear people talking about faith, they talk about faith in kind of this foggy kind of thing where you're like, I don't even know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to have, you know, like faith, you know, like, you know, just beyond yourself. Wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like
I don't even, I need a target. I need a target. And the Bible gives us a target. The Bible says our object of our faith is Jesus Christ. And hope does not disappoint. Why doesn't it disappoint? Because God has poured out his love by the Holy Spirit. How did he pour out his love? By sending Jesus Christ to die in our place. And so God has given us the object of our faith. And these people in chapter 11 of Hebrews could never have wrapped their minds around that object of faith.
Hmm.
They never could have fully gotten it around. And yet we understand that because of God's revelation to us, what God has shown us in his word. It says in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, and all these, meaning all of these people, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us. See, they tried to understand God's promises within their context, and God has something even bigger for them.
Mm.
But that bigger involves us going through something, which is now Hebrews chapter 12, which therefore we have such a great cloud of witness. What are we to do with that? We're to realize that cloud of witness went through some difficult times, some trying times, some disappointing days to move us forward to this time when we fully can see the revelation that Christ has come. And what I love about this is Hebrews chapter 12 ends by saying, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Hmm.
You see, there's difficult days. There's disappointing days. And if the substance of your faith, is just what you can see, the world around you, you will be disappointed. You will be shaken. And as Christians, the substance of our faith, as the assurance of our hope, is what cannot be seen. Because hope does not disappoint. Hope in Christ, the object of our faith, does not disappoint because God has poured out his love through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we as the people of Christ, we receive the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Listen, when you have disappointing and hard days, I think what God is doing is shaking off of you all the things that stand in the way of you worshiping him fully, of you seeing him fully. Now, a lot of us have a great big doctrinal word for that. We call it sanctification.
Hmm.
The process of God shedding off the things that keep us from fully knowing, fully worshiping, fully understanding, and fully seeing him, not with our earthly eyes, but with our faith eyes. And listen, some of us go, but I don't want to have difficult days. All of us need those difficult days because that's part of the shaking off process. To fully receive what God is bringing into this radio ministry, Mark, means that there's some things that you've carried with you that have to be shaken off so that you're ready for this next season of ministry. this next ministry where God is enlarging his promises and showing you greater and bigger things, giving you more territory that he wants you to steward and shepherd for his glory. And so God is saying, listen, these things need to be shaken so that what remains, Hebrews chapter 12, what remains is the things that cannot be shaken, which is your faith, which is your hope in the object of your faith, Jesus Christ. And see, if that all happens, now we can move to the last verse of Hebrews chapter 12, which says, therefore, let us be grateful. See, when you move through your days and all you see is disappointment, it's hard to be grateful. And so as God shakes these things off of you and you see with greater clarity who he is and what he is doing, you are therefore being more prepared to receive this kingdom with a grateful heart. And not only this kingdom with a grateful heart, but you're more prepared to see that this kingdom cannot be shaken. Your assurance is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened. Because when disappointment begins to creep on, as it always will, you go, because of that last season I went through, I know that I serve a king and a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And therefore, you begin to abound fully in greater ways with awe and reverence in your worship of God. And so, listen, I think sometimes we need to kind of shift how we see these seasons of life. You know, oh my gosh, another thing we got to file, and oh, another piece of paperwork we got to dig up, and instead go, you know what? By all means, another area where I need to shake off something that's keeping me from fully embracing, fully worshiping with reverence and awe this king who is calling me deeper into his kingdom and giving us more real estate to give him greater glory. And all of a sudden you go, that season, I needed that. That season was a part of me becoming a greater steward and shepherd of what God has for me.
I'm going to work in reverse because I'm writing down so many things fast, but this shaking off that you're talking about, I'm thinking, isn't it interesting, this last sentence at the end of chapter 12, it says, for our God is a consuming fire, and I'm thinking, you know, you're mentioning the shaking off, and I'm thinking the burning off, the refining, you know, that's part of his goal with all of us, and certainly for me, you know, to consume some of those things so that they're burned up, so that I can focus more readily on him and be aware of the, you know, the refining process. And then I wrote, I love that concept that you laid out for us. Is Jesus the object of our faith? He is the faith. It's not like, oh, I'm going to muster up some faith. I'm going to believe in this thing. Jesus is and should be the object of our faith because he is faithful. And then as soon as you started talking, I wrote this down because I started personalizing the things you were saying. But when people look at me or people see me or see us for that matter, you the listener, do they look at us and see faith at work? And as then you mentioned that the object of our faith should be Jesus, I thought, are they seeing Jesus in us? You know, when there's disappointment or something doesn't work our way, do we get unraveled? Are we fearful? Do we start moaning? Are we angry? Or do they see Jesus because he's the object of our faith? He's going to take me through this. I don't understand some things, but I trust in him and he knows the beginning from the end. So are they witnessing? Seeing faith at work in us as these many people that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, they didn't get to see the great outcome they had hoped for, but they knew that God was at work and that there was a redemptive plan. And so they lived in that experience, that faith, knowing that God was at work.
You know, it's really kind of a poignant illustration. I don't know what Israel trip we were on, but we were on an Israel trip a number of years ago, and I was talking to a gentleman, and the conversation inadvertently turned towards the Holocaust. And I said, you know, what a travesty, a historical travesty. I said, do you ever wish that it didn't happen? And he said, to wish that it didn't happen was to wish that I was not who I am today. That it's that as difficult as that is, it is a part of my story and our story, and it's a part of where we are today. And so when I think about that thing, which is so horrible and so heinous, that somebody could say, yes, but it's a part of who we are and who we're becoming in the Lord. Hmm. And so that kind of eyes looks back on really difficult days and sees them from the perspective of God.
Hmm. And you've talked with many individuals that, you know, find out they have cancer, or they're dying, and it's surprising sometimes where they cling to their faith because they trust in God, and they take what is a terrible situation and sometimes are so godly in it or amazing that they're so rock solid, certain that sometimes they'll even come to the point of saying, I wouldn't trade this experience for anything, even having cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There was a woman 2 years ago, and she was in her 90s, and she had gotten cancer, and she called her family together to say, I've got cancer, and it's going to be, you know, it's terminal. I've only got X amount of time left, and it was a short window. And I remember being in the room, and one of the family members just began to weep and grabbed her hands and said, Grandma, I'm so sorry. And the senior saint looked her in the eyes and said, why are you sorry?
Hmm.
I am so close to seeing my Savior.
Yeah.
And I thought those are the eyes of faith that is so looking forward to seeing the fullness and the fruition, to see the object of our faith in a way that none of us can even understand.
Amen. I love that. The object of our faith today, everyone, should be the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to Him that we praise and follow and surrender and submit to. And what a great gift of God to send the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, to be our personal Savior. Do people see that faith at work in you? I sure hope they do. I sure hope you see it in me today, Jason, and I expect to see it in you because you're a follower of Jesus and we rally around Him. He's a great God that we have the privilege of serving. All right, everyone. Well, it's Friday, which means Sunday's coming. Get in a good Bible-believing church like the Community Evangelical Free Church of the Mahomet or the church where your pastor is divided and preaching God's Word. We pray a blessing on all the pastors that will share and teach us this Sunday and equip us for the coming week. So pray up your pastor and get in church and read your Bible today. All right, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.